This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hi there, this is Mark Lloyd and welcome along to this podcast. Once again, we welcomed into the studio guitar player Kel, who's a font of knowledge when it comes to music, with his classic album this week that belonged to Kid Creole and the Coconuts. And I got a story as well about when they appeared here back in the year 2000 in Dubai. Enjoy the podcast and join me live on the show each and every weeknight, 8 through 10, right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. It's that time of the week where we're once again going to get into a classic album with our guitarist, Kel, who joins us once again. Kel, great to see you, man.
Great to be seen.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well. Enjoying the very English weather.
Right. Okay, so we've done a lot of these classic albums. We've explored music from years gone by. And it's a very interesting one this week, as it's a real kind of mashup of almost, you know, tropical music and calypso and vaudeville, yeah, and a whole style that goes with it.
Yeah, I absolutely adore this album ever since it came out. And I think you're right. It's not only the music, which is fun. It's the look, it's the feel, it's the fashion, the whole thing. And in a way, it remains complete. It sounds timeless because it's kind of its era. And it's an absolute favourite of mine, which is Tropical Gangsters by Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
Kid Creole and the Coconuts. I mean, from the name itself, you've got to smile, haven't you? You know, and Tropical Gangsters. What a name. I'm going to tell this story first of all before we get into our first piece of music from this album. It was the year 2000. I was on Dubai 92 at the time, and I got a call to say, go out to the Dubai Dubai Offshore Sailing Club? That's right, yeah. And that you're going to interview Kid Creole. So off I goes with my little, you know, my, what was it, their mini disc maybe, or maybe it was still a tape, I don't know. And actually recorded an interview with Kid Creole, and he was a super cool guy. And even in the day, he got this kind of suit on and the hat, and looked every bit the part. But anyway, for the concert at the night, it was out on the lawns of the sailing club there. And the weather took a nasty turn, a very, very nasty turn. It was cold, it was windy, and speakers were kind of rocking. And the writing was on the wall. That gig was not going to happen outside. So the organizers took it inside to the indoor venue of the club. Great friend of mine, Alan Ewins, was one of the organizers of that. And he remembers this gig as one of his favorites, I think, ever, because Kid Creole actually still performed a full show at the indoor area. How they got all the people in, I will never know. But the show went ahead. In fact, if anybody's listening that was at that show of Kid Creole, drop me a message on 4001. I'd love to have a chat with you, because it is one of those gigs that's gone down in folklore history in Dubai. So it's one of those nights that people will never forget.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the other things about him, is his stage show is incredible. I did see him, because I think he came back here, didn't he? Was it Belinda Carlisle,
okay,
Boy George, and they played at
on one of these kind of rewind shows.
Yeah. But his actual shows are just so flamboyant, so well done, so well structured, and completely goes with the theme of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful music that he produces.
Yeah. An influence on Prince, apparently, as well, yeah?
Yeah. So after Tropical Gangsters, a few years afterwards, Prince did write a song for him, and it's rumoured through his band that he said he wanted to write him a hit song, because he deserves to be back on top again. But he'd seen him live quite a few times and was quite an influence on him. So it's been rumoured through stories from his band. And if you look at like kind of Prince's stage shows and his stage craft and the whole spectacle, and then you look at Kid Creole, there's a lot of similarities there. So you can kind of see where he would have seen that and gone, even with the flamboyance, with the clothes, with the dressing, kind of go, oh yeah, I'll take a bit of that.
Because I mean, that dress was very, it's kind of 1940s vaudeville, almost gangster style, isn't it? With the big hats, big trilby hats on there, and the pinstripe suits.
Yeah, the zoot suits.
Yeah, zoot suits. Exactly.
Yeah, it was interesting. So where kind of Kid Creole and the Coconuts came from, where it formed from, was like back in 75, he saw this band, he's like in New York, and it was called Dr. Buzzard's Original Savannah Band. Another great band.
What a name.
And he joined them. But that was very much in the kind of the vein of like Cab Calloway, that kind of Cuban Latin-y kind of feel, but yeah. the whole show. So he joined that band. But also he said around about the time is that those clothes cost next to nothing because no one was buying them. They were all in secondhand stores, so he could get a complete wardrobe of 40. but he really liked that music, that feel, the kind of the gangster stories behind it, those old kind of 40s black and white films and all of these kind of things. And it all kind of encompassed to what he did with Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
Let's get our first tune in, Stool Pigeon.
Yeah, I think...
So there's our first track from this album. It's called Stool Pigeon. Elements of jazz, elements of rap, almost early rap, isn't it? And you know that funky guitar going on as well.
Yeah, I think with this as well. I think this is a great example of his storytelling as well, because it's obviously very gangster-led, talking about a stool pigeon. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about this album. It's just fun stories. You know, it kind of takes you away from where you are into a completely different place. You have the beautiful kind of wind horn sections over the top. The guitar, I think, is just incredible on this album. It really kind of helps.
You said you used to kind of, you know, for practice. Purposes, do these parts.
Yeah, it's actually a really, really good album for rhythm guitar, and just because it's very, very tight, but it grooves really, really well. It's it's absolutely fabulous. And I think that kind of gets missed a lot because of all of the horns and the other bits. But again, I think it's his personality really comes across in this. I think he's got a really unique voice and a very, very unique tone, but the way he kind of expresses the stories, and as I say, through all of this album, they're all fun. They're like kind of little mini movies. You can kind of hear through the lyrics this little kind of movie that he's telling.
I think that, you know, he probably inspired songs like Mambo Number 5 and things like that, and, you know, those kind of novelty tunes. But I mean, musically, absolutely spot on. And I've seen lots of footage of him and videos. You know, I mean, he has a big crew on stage. There's a lot of people on stage.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's real instruments, real band, real orchestra. And again, that goes back to what influenced him early days. And again, Cab Calloway, that kind of era, they all had those big bands around them.
Yeah.
So that's what gives it that power and that feel. So Yeah, he kind of tipped a nod to that, and that's why the music, I think, is so powerful.
Yeah, and rhythmically as well, you know, around the drums. I remember that scene, I think they call them the skulls that they play.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, and they give it a certain kind of song. Now then, let's do a bit of fact digging, shall we, on this album. What do we know about it?
Yeah, so this was actually their third album. And interestingly, after their second album was called Fresh Fruit in Foreign Places, and you can hear like the kind of Latin feel on it.
Yeah.
But he kind of wanted to do a little bit more on his own. So originally this was started to be written as a solo album for him.
Oh, okay.
Because he actually writes and produces the majority of the music as well as being the front man. So originally it was going to be called Wise Guy under August Darnell, which is his actual
real
name.
Yeah.
But the record company apparently was in a little bit of trouble, and they kind of went, no, we want a commercial album. We want to build on what we've been building with Kid Creole and the Coconuts. This will be a Kid Creole and the Coconuts album. So then he went back into the studio, finished it off. And it's really interesting hearing the difference between those two albums, because it's so polished, and he produced it as well. And I think it's also a reflection of a lot of what was going on in the time.
Yeah.
So if you've got songs like Club Tropicana, you know, that kind of the kind of exciting lifestyle, I think that really kind of comes in a lot to the production of what he done on this.
Yeah. And, he's very much the central figure though, isn't he? I mean, I'm sure, you know, the Coconuts can change.
Yeah.
It's all about him, really. And even when you see his show, you know, he's the one that you zoom in on.
Yeah, and again, it's just that image. And I think this is something else which Prince got from him as well. He's just got an incredible stage presence. And it's just kind of almost bigger than the big suits that he wears.
Yeah.
And with this as well, we had like his little sidekick, Cody Monday.
Yeah.
Who was like the percussion player who'd run around. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely the big focal.
Three hits, I believe, off this album. I mean, when you look at the albums that were around in that year, in 1982, I mean, we've mentioned Prince already, who was a big fan, and he got his 1999 album out. Thriller was around as well, from Michael Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the next song that we're going to play is like a little bit of a nod to Billie Jean as well. Kate Bush, Are Dreaming, Duran Duran, Rio. Again.
Yeah, and another similar kind of Latin vibe on that.
Yeah, and again, it's just that wonderful storytelling, escapism, visual, Culture Club, Kissing to Be Clever, Gap Band, Yazoo, Upstairs, Eric's, ABC, Lexicon of Love. That was an absolute belter of an album. But a lot of these as well, the production was really strong. And I think that's what also influenced Tropical Gangsters, because the production on it is really, really good. And as I say, especially against that second record, you can hear just such a massive difference.
Yeah. So song number two, what have you chosen for us, Cal?
Yeah, so this, as I say, was kind of a bit of a nod to Billie Jean. And it's written in the same kind of storytelling version that he is. And he comes off, a lot of it, he comes off like kind of really, really strong, like kind of peacocky, kind of, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. But there's certain bits of twists in lyrics which are really good. But this has got that wonderful lyric. Was it, if I was in your blood, then you wouldn't be so ugly? Which is incredible. And I adore this song. It's called Annie, I'm Not Your Daddy. Daddy, oh Annie, I'm not your
Oh, yeah, such a fun sound from Kid Creole and the Coconuts there. Annie, I'm Not Your Daddy. Steel drums in yeah. You know, that Caribbean kind of sound once again on that tune.
Yeah, and again, it's just fun, you know? And I think that's one of the things I love about this album. It's just, you just smile all the way through it. It's just beautifully written storytelling.
Yeah.
Kind of with a little bit of kind of cheek to it as well. And yeah, and the musicality is just stunning. Just so with all of the Latin rhythms and influences through this, yeah. Just wonderful.
Absolutely amazing stuff. Now, it was a pretty cool year, was 1982. I remember it well. Some very cool inventions.
Yeah, so the CD player went on sale for the first time in Japan. And that was, at the time, that was such a huge, like, kind of revolution in what's happening, yeah. And now it's like, oh, do people still have CDs?
Do you remember when they said they'll never scratch, you can't break them? Oh, really? And they'll never skip? Oh, right.
Yeah. Then people were putting like marmalade on it and stuff like that, weren't they?
Can you remember the first CD that you bought? I can remember vividly the first CD that I bought, and it was a band called Matt Bianco.
Oh,
and funnily enough, are quite similar to this.
Yeah, they are,
kind
actually.
Of the Latino stuff. And
what was the single? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I will remember it in a moment. But Matt Bianco was the first CD that I ever bought. And just, you know, having a CD player was amazing back then.
It's interesting how it's kind of come full circle, because it was like, well, everything, it gets rid of all of the scratches from vinyl and everything's absolutely perfect. Do you remember they had that demo disc where it would be like, to demonstrate it, they'd play it and it would sound like someone's suddenly tapping and then they go bang, 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 bang on the garage and you kind of go, ooh.
Also in this year, 1982, a certain drink appeared on our grocery store shelves.
Yeah, Diet Coke appeared. So,
did it?
Yeah, that was an interesting one that came in. So I guess that spawned the whole world of diet drinks.
Yeah.
Trivial Pursuit as well.
Oh, wow. I play that a few times. Yeah. I don't win that often, but Trivial Pursuit's board game. And I can see a right royal year it was, as Prince William was born at St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington in West London.
Yeah, exactly. And I think following on from that, the most popular boys' names were Michael, Christopher, Matthew, Jason and David.
Yeah.
And the girls' names were Jennifer, Jessica, Amanda, Sarah, Melissa.
Okay, and I mean, we mentioned one game, Trivial Pursuits, but there was another rather groundbreaking video game that came out in 1982.
Yeah, Pac-Man.
And he's still around today, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's a great little game.
Yeah, just eat as many of those little dots as you can. We're going to come back. We've got another tune from this classic album, once again, from Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
This is The Night Shift with Mark Lloyd.
On Dubai Eye 103.8, the UAE's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back to the show as we go back in time to 1982 with the sound of Kid Creole and the Coconuts, and an absolute classic album. As I mentioned, he did perform in Dubai many years ago at what was a very stormy night in Dubai. 1982, when it came to the movies, it certainly threw up some absolute classics, Kel.
Yeah, indeed. E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
That was 82, and that was just hugely groundbreaking and absolutely
Steven
enormous.
Steven Spielberg at his best, wasn't it?
Yeah. Rocky 3, or maybe even Rocky 30 back then. I don't know. There's been so many.
Lost count of those Rocky films.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Lovely movie.
Yeah. Poltergeist.
Not my thing at all.
No. but absolutely seminal, isn't it? It's just one of those absolute proper films. Chariots of Fire, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Chariots of Fire. I mean, the theme tune, Vangelis, to that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I think that also kind of helped with the video as well, because I think 82 was kind of like early video days as well.
Yeah.
I remember
it
had the video of obviously the film.
The guy running down the track.
And it's incredible. And I think Blade Runner, which was more futuristic, and Gandhi, which was Ben Kingsley, I think,
wasn't
it?
Ben Kingsley, took on the brilliant role of Gandhi, yeah.
Yeah, and he won, I think he won like an Oscar for that or something, didn't he?
He certainly deserved to as well. that was the movies. We'll come to TV very, very shortly. But back to the album. As you say, it's just a fun ride from start to finish, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've played this over and over and over and over again. And it's one of those ones where you just let the whole thing go and it just takes you kind of into another place. And I think that's part of looking back at the time as well, where you had like Duran Duran, Rio, and even before that, where you had the ska movement. It was all kind of escapism in a way, but some of it was quite serious. Whereas this, it kind of puts a smile on your face. You know, the whole thing that they were stranded on a desert island, and you know, the last song being called "No Fish Today." These these kind of things. It's just that, it's just such a fun album.
I mean, we made that comparison as well to ska with the trombone, in the previous track.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they all have a thread. Say they have a thread of kind of escapism, but real instruments, this is the other thing. I'm certainly not knocking sampling at all, but I think they all were tremendous live, as live bands.
Yeah.
And Kid Creole was, as we spoke about earlier, with having the huge band around him. And all of these were just great, great bands live. And the live thing was so important to bring the power to life.
Yeah. We got one third and final tune to roll from this album. Kel, what did you choose?
Yeah, I chose I'm a Wonderful Thing, because it's I think this really kind of encapsulates the Kid Creole character. You know, he's full of bravado. Look at me.
Look at me.
I look fantastic. Yeah.
My shoes are all polished.
Yeah. I couldn't look no better, I think, is one of the lines. And it's, just a wonderful song.
So there's our third and final track from the fun album from Kid Creole and the Coconuts. I'm a Wonderful Thing. I believe he's done something with my favourite singer in Barry Manilow. Is that right?
Yeah, he did indeed. It was back in 87. Yeah. Barry Manilow did a TV special in the States. And from that came an album called Swing Street. And they did a wonderful duet called Hey Mambo, which is...
Mambo Italiano.
Yeah.
Right.
But it actually suits both artists really, really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And cause sometimes you see some of these collaborations, it's like, oh, they're just picking them because they're the person at the time. But listening to the song, and especially watching the video is lots and lots of fun because it's them kind of playing as almost like the kind of the gangsters as well. But it's a wonderful, wonderful tune. And I think what's nice is I don't think people really know what a good songwriter and musician Kid Creole or August Arnell actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
So to garner someone like Barry Manilow to kind of go, right, actually, I want him
because
on my special.
You know, the whole fun elements and the comedy side of his show, you know, maybe hides the fact that he's a really brilliant musician.
I think it doesn't, because he plays such a powerful character. And it's interesting because no one, you know, very few people know that his name's August Arnell.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of assume that, that's his name. I mean, he does, you see him put the guitar on a few times during certain songs and you kind of go, yeah, he plays. But again, when I was researching this, because it's always interesting to know but who produces it, because that's what the overall sound is. And it's like, well, he did. And it's like, oh, wow. And he wrote all of the songs. Great, great musician.
Respect. Let's have a few more bars. Yeah. So there's the album Tropical Gangsters, Kid Creole and the Coconuts, and I'm sure it's influenced many, many albums, you know, that came after that.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think it's the look, the feel, the fun, the visuals, the live bands, the power of it. Lots and lots. We mentioned this one earlier on off air, I think, the Man Band number 5.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of, but it's timeless, I think. And this music, it's still, you can release it today and you don't kind of go, oh, that sounds like it's a bit 80s.
Mm.
You know, it sounds fresh because of where all the influences have come from.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, Kel, to have you on the show with your classic albums. That's once again Tropical Gangsters from 1982 from Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.